saving money on your next painting project with Menards. Get a paint that combines gorgeous color and durability. Dutch Boys Platinum Plus is a paint and primer with a protective finish that guards against scuffs, spills, and stains. Get $15 off instantly on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on Dutch Boy and Purdy products. Now through March 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's your name?
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
He does a great job of mixing it up. A lot of great looks to make you think twice and, you know, to get you off your game. And, you know, I'm a big fan of his. He does a really great job in that whole scheme, taking, you know, what they did in New England and doing his own twist to it. So a lot of respect for those guys, and we got to be on our A game in every single way. So, yeah, he does a great job of mixing looks and just being really versatile, putting his guys and his D linemen in one-on-one situations, making his DBs look great in coverage. So he does a really good job.
That's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud talking about Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores before Sunday's showdown between two undefeated teams, your 2-0 Houston Texans, the 2-0 Minnesota Vikings, who have been very surprising due to what Sam Darnold's done these first 2 weeks, Kevin O'Connell as their head coach, still getting the most out of quarterbacks. But the person on the Vikings sideline, Joe, that I am most curious about on Sunday is Brian Flores, the architect of a Vikings defense that leads the NFL in sacks. I do not think this is going to be the easy game for the Texans that when we first saw the NFL schedule, we thought it was going to be. Vikings are 2-0, and I don't think this is entirely hollow. Do I think they're going to be this at the end of the year? No, but they have been very good to open up the season. And the Texans as 2-point favorites, I could see the Texans winning and not covering. I think this is going to be a close game on Sunday.
Yeah, this is a good matchup. I mean, you think about Minnesota, if you catch them later in the season, we might view this matchup very differently. But coming off the win over the 49ers, this is a real threat to the Texans being undefeated going into week four of the season, trying to become a 3-0 football team. They've got a real shot to beat you. I mean, it's a well-coached football team on offense and defense.
Yeah, The Bears on Sunday, you got a young quarterback.
Yeah.
You got Matt Eberflus at head coach. This doesn't have the young quarterback, but it's a much better operation.
Yes. So even if there's, like, while Sam Darnold's not the best quarterback in the NFL, like, versus what Caleb Williams was dealing with, Caleb was having stuff thrown at him by D'Amico Ryans that he had just no idea how to handle. Sam Darnold's been there, done that for a lot of things. Like, he's seen quite a bit of the NFL. He's seen how a lot of these defenses operate.
Done that has a meaning that
that's
you
fair.
Could question, because he has seen ghosts like he is Haley Joel Osment in The Sixth Sense. You know,
yes.
I mean, but he has been in the league for a while, and people have always respected his talent. That's why he's getting yet another chance to be the starting quarterback for a team. So he's not someone you can sleep on. He makes some bad mistakes out there. That is 100% true. But he's not going up against that Brian Flores defense that was just making him see ghosts anymore. You know, that's on his sideline. And I look at Sam Darnold and the Vikings offense. I think they will be annoying. But the Vikings defense, it has a lot of talent. And I think it's going to give the Texans some issues moving the football, because the Bears defense didn't. I think this is a better defense. This is C.J. Stroud talking about all the talent the Vikings have on their defense.
It's chaos, man. They run around. They show looks, bluff looks. They just do a lot of great things to, you know, put their guys in position. But they know their issues. So, and then they play really hard. Like, they got, you know, Blake Cashman, who was my former teammate last year, I have a ton of respect for, running the show. And, you know, J.G., who I know is for sure probably the leader of the D-line, got them boys hunting too. So, you know, and then on the back end, they do a great job as well. Got Stephon Gilmore, who's a great vet, and Harrison Smith has been playing at a high level for a very, very long time. So, man, they got some guys, man, and they've been putting on film. So, you know, got to have an awareness about the stuff they're doing, but also just, you know, just be ourselves.
To JJ, he's talking about Nacho George, Jonathan Grenard. Yeah, not John Granato either. It's Jonathan Grenard, who had 10-plus sacks for the Texans last season. How many sacks was it? Was it 12? It was a lot, whatever the case. It was impressive. He is now on that Vikings sideline, playing for that Vikings defense that does have some players. Stephon Gilmore, still solid. I don't know if he's still defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore, anymore. And Harrison Smith has been a good safety in the league for a while. So they got some talent there. And they got a guy in Brian Flores who I think knows how to best use it. So this is going to be a tricky one because you take a look at the Texans injury report. No practice on Friday. One, Joe Mixon. Two, Damian Pierce. You're down to your third string running back in Cam Akers. You're going to want to be balanced against a team in the Vikings that has 11.5 sacks this season and they're not even blitzing that much. And if it's Cam Akers who's your running back, what are you going to get? Akers has been very surprising. In the preseason and in training camp, he did enough to make the roster. Sunday, before he fumbled against the Bears in that critical spot, he also was the best-looking running back out there. I'm very curious to see how he does. I think it helps that Bobby Slowick, similar offense to Sean McVay from what they want the running backs to do perspective, and I think you saw that, but I also think it's going to be tough for the Texans to run on the Vikings because I think Brian Flores is a really smart defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and this is, you know, your depth is just being, that's where it's being tested the most right now. I mean, you know, it sounds like Drew Scruggs is back at practice, so he'll be back at starting
center.
That's
good. That's huge.
Yeah, that's huge. Because at one point it felt like him and Jared Patterson were both not going to play this weekend, and I don't even know if I know who the third center would be for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like Michael Dieter again some of the other guys that they threw in there last year.
Which whatever. Don't want to see that.
Yeah, you know, for the casuals out there, you don't really want to think about the back of the offensive line. And it's okay if you don't know the back of the Texans offensive line, but this is definitely going to be tough matchup-wise. Bobby Slowick, Texans offensive coordinator, had this to say about what Cam Akers brings to the table, seeing as he probably will be the Texans' lead running back Sunday.
Yeah, he's great vision. He's been running, Rams zone scheme. He came from, he did the same thing in Minnesota. He's really good at reading that. We call it riding the wave, finding the right hole to hit. You know, he always plays under control. When he sees it, he hits it. He finished physical. And he has really good contact balance, you know. And I'd say those like are the things that jump out with Cam. You pretty much see that every carry.
Third fewest points in two games the Vikings defense have allowed. And it's 11 sacks, which leads the league through two games. Akers is going to be tested, but hey, there are certainly worse third-string running backs to have than Cam Akers. So at the very least, it's not like you're having to put in British Brooks or Dare Ogunbowale as your starting running back for the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jordan Mason did rush for 100 yards last week, you know, for the 49ers. He's been impressive for 2 weeks. For them replacing Christian McCaffrey, kind of the surprise of the season early on.
Yeah, and it is the
49ers. He's been really talented. Like, it's the 49ers, right? But, like, that's kind of the Bobby Slowick, you know, Miami Dolphins, 49ers. Like, the Dolphins and 49ers, they just kind of keep throwing running backs out there, and they just kind of keep figuring it out. So, you know, the hope would be that the Texans can find some level of similar success with Cam Akers this weekend.
Yeah.
And he can just, you know, if he gets you 80 yards, like, that'd be nice this weekend.
It seems like it's the one thing missing from Bobby Slowick's bag. Consistently being able to make anybody look good at running back.
Because
that's what all those offenses do. Big test for him on Sunday. From a Texans defense perspective, important to note that Justin Jefferson said he's going to play. He's really good. Arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. And also, he's going to have Derek Stingley covering him, and I'm not going to get sidetracked by this too much this time, but here's Texans cornerback Derek Stingley talking about Justin Jefferson and specifically his age.
Man, I don't really talk to him. He much older, but, you know, LSU is LSU. We always keep in touch a little bit, but not too much.
Derek Stingley is not a man of many words, but please, sir, do not say someone 2 years older than you that was in college at the same time as you is much older.
He's much older.
Don't do that to me.
I mean, look, what have we learned this week about the Houston Texans is that as long as you play in the NFL, you're a vet. C.J. Stroud was just a vet talking to Caleb Williams. You know, Justin Jefferson, he's the highest paid player in the NFL. So, you know, to Derek Stingley Jr., you got to look up to someone like that, much older. I can't wait to see them go one-on-one. I hope he follows Jefferson everywhere.
I hope he has help.
But I hope he still follows him everywhere.
I don't like one-on-one Stingley versus Jefferson. I don't. I know that Stingley at LSU has proven he can, but I think this whole game, especially if Jordan Addison's out for Minnesota, you double him the whole game. Stats for Sam Darnold. He is third in the NFL in yards per attempt. I was stunned by that.
Shocking.
Only Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield higher yards per attempt. I think yards per attempt is the closest thing to a true indication of how well a quarterback has played, because it means that the guy's throwing the football down the field and is actually completing passes down the field. Tied for third in passing touchdowns. He's tied for fourth in QBR, which is a scale of 100, and tied for fifth in passer rating. Excuse me, he's in fifth by himself in passer rating. He has a passer rating that is better than C.J. Stroud through two games.
It's remarkable.
For what it's worth.
Yeah, he's been excellent through 2 weeks. And the first week, you're like, it's the Giants. Like, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst two teams in the NFL.
But the 49ers, I mean, that was a hell of a win.
Yeah.
Two interceptions on the year. He's been sacked four times. He is always somebody that's turned the football over. So the hope is that when he throws the football up, trying to get it to Justin Jefferson, that there are a couple of moments where Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter, whoever they throw out against him, are able to come down with it. We'll see what happens. I'm excited for the game. It's going to be tough. This is not a pushover Vikings team. So just keep that in the back of your mind when you're getting mad that the Texans, again, aren't running away with it and maybe aren't able to cover the spread.
I think it's more likely that Sam Darnold has a very good day or more likely that Cam Akers has a very good day.
Oh, that's a great hypothetical.
I think I'm going to lean Cam Akers.
You don't sound so sure when you say that.
No, because it's a tough question. I'm going to go Cam Akers.
I'm going to go Darnold. I think Darnold's going to have plays downfield. Texans give up big plays, and the hope is that there's a couple of interceptions that come along the way. But I could see Darnold having a good day.
And hopefully a pick or two with that good day.
Yeah, get the picks.
Yeah.
He's going to give you opportunities. You better take advantage of it. Stingley and Kamari Lassiter have good hands.
I mean, you got the best player in the NFL, arguably, on the field, Justin Jefferson.
I mean, usually,
he's going to get his.
Number one or number two in all fantasy football drafts, Justin Jefferson. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, we pick the six best games of the weekend in college football and in the NFL, and then we pick them against the spread. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one! Unbelievable! He is gone! Kiss McKinney goodbye!
But Paul Gallant and Joe George are going to pick six games.
There's six!
Pick six!
Well, that's got pick six written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
The six best games of the weekend, we pick them against the spread. Wipe that smirk off your face, Joe George. Just because you're 7-5 and leading all of us is no reason to smirk. Sean and I are both 4-8.
Hey, you know what? Got back on track. Both of you guys 500 last week. One step at a time.
I'll take 500. Yeah. I'll take 500.
Let's get above 500 this week.
I hope we get above 500 this week. This is the time of the year where I start to doubt all of my picks. That's how it always works.
Let's get a 4-2 on the board.
I'm good at picking games when there's no stakes attached to it, but when my reputation is attached to it, then I get nervous.
Hey, we're going to LeBurge this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's get some winners.
Okay.
Or, as you go, mybookie.ag.
Mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Yeah.
Whatever one you want to do, start, see if you can make some money. Put some pressure on yourself.
So, the first game we will pick, first we have to pick between these two games. Which game excites you more? Tonight, 7 o'clock, number 24, Illinois, at number 22, Nebraska. Huskers are 7.5-point favorites. Or tomorrow, 3 p.m., a Big 12 mashup, weird to say, between number 12, 3-0 Utah, and number 14, Oklahoma State. The Cowboys of Oklahoma State, 2.5-point favorites. What game do you like more?
To me, the Utah one is just like, does Cam Rising play or not?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what I'm having to pick, is do I think Cam Rising is going to play?
Yeah.
So I think just for the sake of just discussion, do the one tonight.
Yeah, let's do the one tonight.
Okay. I would rather watch the Utah game because I like Utah football, but that's
but
fair.
But for a pick, it's like, well, if the starting quarterback plays, that team will win.
So Illinois 3-0.
They are.
You could have rooted for them instead of Notre Dame, too.
Never.
I'm digging the vibes with Matt Rhule in charge of Nebraska. I want Nebraska to be back. I'm going to take Nebraska to cover.
How do you feel about this Raiola kid?
Impersonating Patrick Mahomes?
I think it's really weird.
It is 100% impersonating Patrick Mahomes, and the fact that he's denying it is annoying to me. But hey, if that makes him feel like he's playing like Patrick Mahomes, what's the saying? Like, look good, play good?
Yeah.
Fine. I'm in.
All right, I'm taking, I'm going to go Illinois, +7.5.
Homer.
Yeah, I'm riding with the Illini, too. I think Brett Bielema's boys go into Lincoln, do enough to confuse this freshman quarterback making his first, conference start.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I guess they did play Colorado, so it's not his first real test. But I think they can turn the ball over, keep it within a touchdown.
All right. Saturday, 2:30, our second game.
Our second Big Ten matchup. This is so weird.
This is strange. You're right, because Illinois, Nebraska is Big Ten. At least Nebraska's been there for a little bit. This is the first weird one. Number 11, 2-0 USC, goes to Ann Arbor to take on number 18, Michigan, 2-1, coming off of a beatdown at the hands of Texas not that long ago. That game has completely made me feel that Michigan is in a rebuild year. It does. I know that this is a West Coast team going to the Midwest, and I know that they're probably trying to get me to bet on USC, but just 5-point favorites. But I think the Trojans win this one convincingly. I feel like Michigan in year one without Jim Harbaugh and without J.J. McCarthy, I think it's going to take them a while to figure out where they're at, and I think this is just kind of wrong place, wrong time going up against USC.
Yep, USC's good. Michigan's not. Michigan should not be in the top 25. This is TCU all over again. Maybe not as bad as TCU, but they lost all their talent. Like, I'm taking USC.
I'll take Michigan. Just because putting in orgy for Davis Warren, what you're doing is, it is a commitment to just, hey, we're going to smash your face.
Yeah.
And USC, I know it's year one of a new defensive coordinator. We thought they were, and they did improve in week one against LSU. But against Michigan, you're going to have to prove it, play in, play out. Are you really about that run fit and tackle life? Because it's going to be coming at you the entire game. I think Michigan, I don't feel good about this, but I'd feel worse if Davis Warren was playing. Saw that kid can play. So, yeah, give me Michigan.
Okay.
Defending champs.
Saturday, 6:30, ABC. This is the game of the night. Number 6, 3-0 Tennessee. At number 15, 3-0 Oklahoma. The Vols, 6.5-point favorites.
I'm going to go Tennessee. I don't like Oklahoma this year. I think they're fine, but I really like Tennessee. So I'm going to go with the real UT.
My brain is saying pick Tennessee, but I hate them. Mm. So I'm taking Oklahoma.
Your mind's telling you no, but your body is telling you yes.
Yes. This is entirely with my... I'm just shooting straight from the hip. F Tennessee, I will never pick them.
I like Tennessee here. Like you said, Oklahoma hasn't looked good. I think Oklahoma hasn't played a team that has as good of a defense as Tennessee, and I don't think they've played a team that has as good of an offense as Tennessee, and they haven't really been impressive their last 2 weeks. Give me Tennessee.
Putting an asterisk next to my pick of Oklahoma here.
Asterisk, parentheses, because of spite?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. We'll make sure that's in the record.
I got yelled at by one of my friends for not betting on the Patriots in week one. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you got to make bets because you want it to happen. Mm. Even if it's stupid and costs you money.
Let the record show on the Google Excel sheet. It says OU +6.5. spite.
Okay.
Next to Paul's name.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Joe.
Yeah.
All right, NFL games. This one's an interesting one, but both these teams struggling. Sunday, 3:25 on Fox. Is Brady doing three straight Cowboys games? The 0-2 Ravens at the 1-1 Cowboys. Ravens 1-point favorites.
Oh, this is a tough one.
One point is the worst. Is the worst. Because it is just like, pick who's going to win.
Can Baltimore really go 0-3? That's what they're asking you.
I'll take Baltimore minus one.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think Paul said it best. Are we really going to do 0-3 Baltimore? Yeah. Now, on Monday, we could be talking about 0-3
Baltimore. And if we are, good for the Texans.
Yes, but give me the Ravens.
CeeDee Lamb, Trevon Diggs banged up. So I will take the Ravens and justify it as that, not as they're not going to go 0-3.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it is that simple. Just, I don't know. They're not going to go 0-3.
Three games, we pick one of them.
All right.
Which one's most interesting to you? Battle of Unbeatens, noon, but it's the Chargers and Steelers. Steelers, 1.5-point favorites.
Herbert, yeah. Herbert, I think, is questionable.
He is questionable.
He's to be determined, they said.
Yeah, okay.
If Herbert doesn't play, I agree, that is the game I do not want to watch.
No, field goal fast.
Also, like, don't bet on Justin Fields, you'll regret it.
You bet 3 years of your life on Justin
Word
Fields.
Word of advice!
Sounds like a spite pick right there, too. Okay, we're not doing that game. Sunday, 3:25, the 1-1 49ers at the 0-2 Rams. 49ers, 6.5-point favorites.
Interesting. Okay.
Some bad blood between the two. Nice rivalry with McVay and with Shanahan. And then the third game, Sunday, 3:25, the 1-1 Man Campbell Lions at the 1-1 Cardinals with Kyler Murray. Offense looked pretty good last week. Kyler Murray figured out how to throw the football to Marvin Harrison Jr. So
those are interesting games.
I think Lions Cardinals is the better game.
I think I lean that way too.
Yeah, I think somehow that's the best.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah. I can't believe that. It's because Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua are both out for the Rams.
The Rams look like they are going to go 0-3.
Yeah.
Now they do very well against Kyle Shanahan for what it's worth.
So Lions.
Oh, is that the? No, I thought Shanahan owns McVay.
Ah, damn it, I forget. It's like rock, paper, scissors.
Shanahan owns McVay. One of them owns the Seahawks.
McVay owns the Seahawks. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Shanahan owns...
We do this every year.
I know. I always forget
it. And then they play the game. We're like, oh, wait, that's right.
Damn it. I screwed it up. West Coast. Who cares? All right. So
Lions-Cardinals.
Lions-Cardinals. The Lions are 3-point favorites on the road.
I'm going to say I believe in the Cardinals. Let's take the Cardinals plus three.
Oh.
I like the way they played last year under Jonathan Gannon. They played really hard. They played a lot of good games.
Yeah, they almost
did. And now
the
Kyler and Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, James Conner was incredible last week again, too. Like, I'll go Cardinals plus three.
Sean, I want you to go first because I'm still making up my mind.
I also want you to go first.
No, damn it. Fine, I'll go first.
No,
I'll go first.
I'll go.
Hit me.
I'll go with the Lions. Coach Applebee's himself.
I mean, he's got to buy a new house this week, so.
I don't love that. Actually, no, I love that. He laughs in the face of adversity.
I mean, look, he knows now if he loses a football game, he's going to get doxxed, because that's what happened.
That's the price of playing poker.
The pressure's on from the fans.
Joe, you talked me into this.
Yes.
The hangover from that 24-7 lead against the 49ers. How over it are the Lions? Especially when they're taking on a Cardinals team that you would traditionally overlook. This is like a big week for Man Campbell. I don't know that I see the Cardinals winning, but I think that, and I know, plus three, you're basically asking, well, are they going to keep it a one-score game? Mm-hmm. Couldn't you see this being a game at the very end where the Lions are deciding to go for two and kicking an extra point, tie at the very end?
100%.
I'm taking the Cardinals to cover.
All right.
And here we go. Here's the last one. You got the Texans at the Vikings. Battle of Unbeatens, noon, CBS. Texans, 2-point favorites. Vikings are, I think, a very respectable operation. The Texans rarely cover. And here's what's going to happen. The Texans are going to win by one.
Or they're going to lose.
They're going to win 24-23.
Oh, God.
24-23. Vikings cover, Texans win. It's going to be close. They can't cover. Does it make any sense? No. Does it drive me crazy when people like Hammer and Hank will talk about a team's record against the spread and then ends up being right? Yes, because it doesn't make any sense. But the Texans don't cover under the D'Amico Ryans, in the D'Amico Ryans era. They just don't. Texans win, Vikings cover. That is how you walk the fence, baby.
I think the Texans are going to win, and I just don't believe in the number. I think it's too small. It's like the Baltimore game, so I'll take the Texans minus two.
I think I'm riding with the PG train on this one.
Hell yeah. Woo woo.
I think I will not pick the Texans to cover until they do so. So by that logic, I cannot take the Texans.
Yeah, I will say if the Texans lose this game or don't cover this game, I will be joining you guys.
Yeah, they are undefeated, but yeah, they just haven't covered.
No more picking the Texans to cover until they do it. I'm going to go with it this week. I'm going to give it one more shot.
Okay.
I'm going to have a little more belief than you guys. I think Texans they can win by three. Texans swarm by three.
Swarm, but please cover.
Well, now you don't want them to cover.
Yeah.
No, I want them to cover. I always want the Texans to win by a million. I think it's going to end up.
I can't say they will.
Yeah.
Paul and I are desperate. We need the wins.
Yeah, we're looking for.
We're looking at trends.
Yeah, Joe's trying to run it up on us. And honestly, he might, because I made a spite pick.
But it was noted as a spite pick.
It was noted as a spite pick. Galana George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, the Texans win Sunday if, and the Texans lose Sunday if. We'll discuss that. Our final thoughts on Texans and Vikings. Stick around, Galana George. First, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Listen, I'm just telling you what games are the good ones. Don't actually trust my expert opinion on who actually covers, because this Texans-Vikings game is scary. The Texans are 2-point favorites. They don't cover, right? Pick the Vikings to cover. You'll feel a lot better about it. Hedge the game on Sunday. You can do that. Mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975 for an awesome deposit bonus. They will double your initial deposit. Hell yeah. Mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You can bet on so many things at mybookie.ag. They've got an awesome promotion that you could have been a part of last night. Thursdays, if your bet hits, you win. If it doesn't, MyBookie refunds your wager. That's insane. I still can't believe that's real. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. There's also a rewards program with MyBookie Plus. The more you bet, the more you win. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN. 97.5.
Joe Mixon, ankle injury. Didn't play at practice today. Doubtful. Damian Pierce, hamstring. Did not participate at practice today. Out. So the Texans are looking like they'll be down their top two running backs. This is a Cam Akers week, and we'll see, Joe, if he's able to do what he was able to do in crunch time against the Bears Sunday. Everything except for the fumble was pretty good.
Yeah, and I guess what? So then it's Dare Ogunbowale is your second running back, maybe, unless British Brooks.
British Brooks seems like he is a special teams demon with that big hit that he had.
Yeah.
I don't know that British Brooks is somebody that will get many looks. I suppose we all could be surprised. But yeah, Ogunbowale, I think, is going to be the guy who gets maybe two carries. I would not, if you're playing fantasy football, daily fantasy, I would not take anybody other than Cam Akers. Akers should probably be able to get for a bargain, in fact.
Yeah, and I still would feel probably pretty desperate. Now, the amount of injuries you have in fantasy football right now to, like, elite football players, Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Cooper, Puka, A.J. Brown. Like, it's Christian McCaffrey.
Pacheco.
I forgot about Pacheco even. Yeah. For the next, like, 6 weeks. It's a lengthy list, so that this might be a good Cam Akers, like, especially if you have Joe Mixon.
Mm-hmm.
But I would, Joe Mixon's the guy. I mean, Cam Akers is the guy if you're looking at fantasy football for sure this week. And just hopefully he can have some success. Because I do think to beat the Vikings, you're going to have to be able to run the ball a little bit.
Justin Jefferson, meanwhile, full participant in practice with a quad injury. He said he was going to play yesterday. He is going to play. All right. The Texans lose Sunday if blank.
If they can't protect CJ Stroud. I think this is one of those games where this is going to be, look, we just talked about the spread. It's only 2 points. It leads to what's going to be a very close football game. I think they have to do a much better job protecting CJ this week. I mean, to win in the way you did in week two, 19-13, only by 6 points. Caleb Williams had the ball, had a chance to win the game. You can't have Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson be in that same position. So I think, you know, you got to score, and to do that, you got to protect CJ. That's going to be a big one for me.
I'm with you in that this is a game where they're going to have to win throwing the football without the help of the running game. So I think that's a good way to look at it. I think the other thing is this. Sam Darnold's going to give you opportunities to take the football away. You got to take advantage of them. Whether it's sacking him and it's a fumble, or it's a ball that's thrown up there, and either Derek Stingley, who's a great ball hawk, or Kamari Lassiter, who also seems to have pretty soft hands himself. If you drop a couple of those and make Darnold feel a little bit more confident, that's how you lose. I think very, very basic football man take, but you got to win the turnover battle in that you got to take the cupcakes when the cupcakes are handed to you. You don't turn the cupcakes down. Darnold will give you a few. Don't F it up. If it's a clean game by the Vikings, I think they're going to win.
Yeah, especially like when you think about like the kind of turnover battle game, like you're saying, like this is a guy who gives you the chance. Like this isn't, you're not playing against, you know, the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and it's like, well, who most likely ever wins the turnover battle wins the game. No, Sam Darnold's going to literally give you opportunities to win the football game based on his decisions. So you have to take advantage, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think it comes down to can the Texans make Sam Darnold look like the Sam Darnold that we all know and love from years past?
Certainly capable.
They are capable if they can do just a little bit. I mean, obviously asking D'Amico Ryans to call as many blitzes as he did last week to break his own personal trend that much in back-to-back weeks, that's asking a lot. But if they can put him under some pressure, make him make some questionable decisions, and you do have to feel good with the D-backs that the Astros have, or the
Astros, yeah,
that the Texans have. I said D-backs, and I started thinking. but that you have Stingley, you have Lassiter, you have Bullock. Those are three guys that are all very good when it comes to ball skills, when it comes to turning over the other team. We saw it last week with Lassiter. He had one interception, could have had another that got called back on a penalty on the other side of the field. Stingley, we all know that. And Kalen Bullock, when he was coming out of USC, that was his selling point, was that he is a ball hawk as a safety. If those guys can get their hands on a football, I think they'll come down with it more often than your average defensive backs. And if they can do that, they can turn this thing over and they can win.
I also think that you have to, when you look at what some of the things that went bad in the first two games of the season for the Texans that are easy to fix is the penalties. A lot of bad ones. I mean, you had, you know, week one, you had a drive where you can almost clinch the game. It's 3rd and 2. You get a false start, and then CJ gets sacked on the next play. And then last week, there was just a ton of penalties. I mean, it felt like there was laundry on the field from the referees on both sides of the ball from just constantly. Just play cleaner football. Like, it's time for the Texans to clean it up.
12 penalties, 100-plus yards, unacceptable. Laremy Tunsil, 1 false start. It's loud there. 1.
Oh, wait, for our picks, which drive does it happen on?
1st.
2nd.
I'll say...
But it's the first play.
I'll say...
It's going to be loud.
Get it out of your system.
First drive coming out of halftime.
Oh, okay. We're going to make through a half without a... I like that.
Yeah.
I hope it's not in the second half, because I imagine the energy is going to wear down. First play of the game. Skull! Skull! I could 100% see Laremy jumping on.
Well, we're backing him up. 5-year-old.
Skull! 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 Oh, my dip.
Gonna have to pack double lips. All right, so that's how the Texans lose. How do the Texans win Sunday?
Get Tank Dell involved. I'd like to see Tank Dell like show up for the first time this season.
And he's not on your fantasy team.
He's on one.
Okay, damn it. There we go. Throw that out.
It's been infected.
To be fair, I also have Nico on one team and Ant Diggs on one
team. No one cares about your fantasy team.
And CJ on one team.
You said get Tank Dell involved definitely screamed, I own him in fantasy football.
I mean, he was useless last week for the most part. I mean, you know, the reverse play was nice, but he dropped a touchdown pass. That you know,
he had a bad game.
Last year was a touchdown all day. So get Tank Dell actively involved in this game. It can't just be Nico like it was last week. Like if you're gonna move the ball down the field through the air, especially if you have a weaker run game, like you gotta get other guys involved.
You know what's crazy? I think they based off of what we have seen from Nico Collins,
maybe they don't need to get other people involved.
They might not.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's so good.
It's the last game of the year against the Colts where they're just throwing it to Nico every single play and they have nobody else to throw to. That was the only time the offense moved. The other options there for the Texans are a threat, but I don't really know what you can do to stop Nico Collins, especially now that you have all these options, because he has the size on you. He has the speed on you. He is going to beat you on a slant every single time just because of his size and speed. And when he catches the ball, he can do things after the catch. So this actually is sort of like the same thing with the Texans where, hey, double Justin Jefferson and just hope that it doesn't get too messy because he's still going to do things to you. Collins is entering that territory because just from a physics standpoint, I do not know what you do to slow him down.
But
so I'm okay with them throwing it to Nico Collins all game long. I think it's going to work.
And the difference with Collins is because then Jefferson is because the Texans also have Diggs and Dell. So if you're the Vikings, you're like, well, you can't just double them and make someone else beat you because they have other guys that can beat you.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like for Nico Collins, if they're throwing it to Nico Collins every single play, not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah,
it's almost like he's not Justin Jefferson, but he's
no.
He's not far.
But, and if he's not going to get covered like he's Justin Jefferson, then he can produce. Mine is pretty simple. More touchdown drives by this offense.
Less Kyrie fair pairs.
Yes, yeah. They have scored. I'm with you. They have scored 4 touchdowns on offense this
year. 7 field goals to 4 touchdowns.
7 field goals to 4 touchdowns.
And they haven't even gone into the red zone for 6 of those field goals.
Exactly.
In fact, I don't think they got into the red zone for any of them.
I don't think so.
48er, right?
I was thinking converting red zone opportunities, and then I realized, no, wait, they don't get into the red zone to convert those opportunities.
You start with getting opportunities.
Yes. Normally, what it is a false start or a hold that bumps the drive back. And like you're saying, there's these drive killing penalties. So it kind of goes hand in hand with that. But just getting 7s instead of 3s, I think if the Texans can do that, they're in a very good spot to win.
I like it.
I definitely bet on Kyrie Fairbairn over 1.5 field goals this week.
Man, that's it? That seems like
Always the line. It's always for kickers. It's always the line.
But the
juice is like right. The juice. Yeah. When I
they'll,
got it,
they'll mess with the juice.
Yeah, like it's -166. So you have to bet $166 to win $100 on the over for Kyrie right now. So that's they leave it the number the same, but they just the spread.
Okay, that
the
makes number's sense. Tough. Thank you for gambles blending to me. MyBookie.ag promo code bet975. Bet educated. Thanks to advice from Joe. I'm not going to help you out. I just do it for fun. They win for me, and not to copy what Sean just said,
No, I'm just kidding. Looking at my notes.
Sir Paul.
Yeah. Call me Mr. Mapes.
And also just to say what Joe was saying too, like you can't shoot yourself in the foot. You got to get into the red zone. You got to get some touchdown drives going. Like it is really that simple. Your offense is too good to be getting stuck in quagmire at the 30 over and over again.
Yeah, you can only win so many games like this.
Yeah.
Like, there's only so many times where Kyrie can just be banking in 50-yard plus field goals 3 times a game.
Raising the expectations. You can beat the Bears like that.
Yeah.
You can beat the Colts like that with Anthony Richardson looks like that. The Vikings are in this weird zone because of who they're coached by and because of who they got on defense, where I do look at them differently than I look at the Colts. Mm-hmm. And I think so it's going to be a tough one. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. You should be okay.
Yeah. We were talking about this. Is this kind of a measuring stick game for the Texans? And as far as how real they are in the, like, if they are a real deal team, like, do they just go in and take care of business here?
Yeah. I think
we'd like to see it.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them expose the Vikings because I think eventually the Vikings will fall off. Mm-hmm. Now, at the end of the season, we might say, okay, you know what? The Vikings were a good football team. That's a good, 1 point, 2 point win over that team. But I'm not that confident in Minnesota still over the long haul. So I'd like to see the Texans kind of be the kickstarter into Minnesota's downfall.
Yeah. It being on the road also helps, where it does feel like it, based off what we've seen from these teams, is kind of a step up in competition from their last road game against Indianapolis.
Don't forget, just because I just remembered that. I don't know why it just popped in my head.
I know.
Wade Phillips' son, Wes Phillips, offensive coordinator.
That is true.
Or passing game coordinator for the Vikings. He tweeted that out.
Yeah.
He said, just a reminder, my son
Yeah, he saw the love that Clint Kubiak is getting.
He's like, don't forget my kid. My kid
ain't so bad himself.
I see Clarence in the chat talking about how the Saints have more touchdowns in one half than the Texans have in two games.
They do. They do.
That's right. That's
very true.
That's right.
Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe George to my right. I am Paul Gallant. We wrap things up with garbage time after this.
So this morning at Le Bourge Lake Charles, they did the grand opening. ESPN Bet is officially open. ESPN Bet is your go-to place to go and bet on your Texas teams at Le Bourge Lake Charles. You got the 24-foot video wall, the 19 betting kiosks. You can get Carbox, Crawford Bach, On Tap, Chef Lyle's got great food as well. Can't wait to get there this weekend. We'll be heading out tomorrow and to enjoy the college football Saturday and do a show there. Sean, Brian, myself from 10 to 12 on Sunday before the NFL action kicks in. You can get closer to the, you know, to the action than you ever can normally be at home with this massive TV wall. Keep the action going. Place your bets on the ESPN Bet app. Stop in for all the action at Le Bourge Lake Charles. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN 97.5.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This isn't as much garbage as much as it's heartwarming. Now, we've been seeing a lot of teams clinching playoff spots in baseball. The Yankees were first, the Guardians second in the American League, but we also saw the Milwaukee Brewers clinch a spot. Bob Uecker, who you might know as the voice of the Cleveland Indians in the movie Major League.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I say his name wrong? He is the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers in real life. And when the Brewers clinched a playoff spot, Uke, who is 90, got recognized in the clubhouse. This is fun.
There is no one who epitomizes a champion the way this man does right here. There is no one out here. What an example for us to be with every single day. Bob Uecker. No doubt. Yeah!
Bob Uecker said, I peed my pants.
I thought he said something else for a second.
Still got his fastball at age 90.
That's really cool. That's cool to recognize someone like that that's put in so many years to an organization. Because he really is like...
Yeah.
Like, he is Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Yeah, a lot like John Sterling being Yankees baseball, Joe.
Nope. No. Bob Uecker's still going through the grind. He deserves to be recognized. John Sterling quit.
Sterling got pushed out.
And now he's, he got pushed out, then welcome back for the
Sterling
playoffs?
Sterling got pushed out. What are you talking about?
He's washed.
No days off Uke. That's what they call him.
I am impressed that he's 90. I did not know that. I don't know how many games he does.
Either.
I'm sure he's on a pitch count.
I think he does half. I think he might just do the home game. Yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense. Because I think even Vin Scully eventually was on a pitch count, if you will. Miss Vin. Vin was the best. All right, continuing to go through garbage time. Did you see Colorado football ratings? They're down 51% this year in total.
Oh, yeah.
Not a surprise.
Not a surprise when you suck at your sport.
You know, I wonder if Dion's aware of this. I feel like he would be more than any coach in college football, in pro football, definitely. I feel like Dion would actually be paying attention to this. Look, he's made Colorado more relevant, no doubt about it, but... I mean, you want to be recruiting well. It helps to be on national TV. I wonder how this affects things for next year.
It wouldn't be funny. I can't wait for him to be like, maybe we should have never left the Pac-12. Why are we in the Big 12 if the rate? Like, he's not going to blame himself.
Pac-3.
And they got six teams now.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I keep on.
They got Colorado State now.
Yeah. And now in 2 years, but.
They may as well say that they're in now, though. It's kind of embarrassing to be in a two-team conference. But shout out to Washington State, who beat Washington last week. I didn't mention that.
Got revenge.
Yeah. Yeah, you left us.
Was that the last Apple Cup?
I don't know.
It
I don't
seems
know if they're
like
going to schedule them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They scheduled both Oregon State, Oregon, and Washington State, I think, for this year.
Okay.
But I don't know if they've made an agreement long-term.
There are Texas A&M vibes up there. as someone who's sort of aware of what's going on now, is in tune with the greater Washington area as I used to be. More stories in garbage time. This isn't garbage. This is great. Kay Adams, not dating Daniel Jones. I guess
good.
I guess people didn't.
This is great.
Understand the sarcasm before. So she felt the need to clarify yet again.
Look.
She says she's met him twice, but that's it.
I mean, you can't be associated with that bad of a football player if you're Kay Adams, okay?
Yeah.
Beneath you.
If he was balling out, I bet this bit stays alive for a little bit longer.
Yeah, if it was CJ Stroud rumors, I'd say, hey, good for you, Kay.
If it was Derek Carr rumors.
Would she be a cougar for CJ? How old is Kay Adams?
Yeah,
she's much older than
CJ Stroud. Hey.
Okay, to be fair, she'll be 40 in 2 years. She's 38.
That was a very mean way to bring that up. She'll be 40 in 2 years.
Don't bring up a woman's age.
That was an insane way to bring that up.
Kay Adams, you look like you're 25 to me, and I think you're a strong, independent woman.
Okay? Yeah, she's too hot for Daniel Jones.
Well, don't say that. Daniel Jones is better looking than me.
Dream. He sucks at football. You don't suck at your job. Daniel Jones really sucks at his.
Listen, Daniel Jones is good at getting paid, and I respect that. I respect that. That's the American dream.
It's true.
And I respect strong, independent, powerful women who are bastions of journalism. We worship Adrian Wojnarowski. No, we should be worshiping Kay Adams, who's doing that on her own. Kay, thank you for what you do. And on that note, that's going to wrap up the Galant and George
on
radio program. I'm single, by the way, in case no one knew. Yeah, I'm very single.
Listener party tonight.
Listener party tonight.
Oh, boy.
Don't hit on me. I'm saving myself for strong, independent, powerful journalists, okay? Thank you. And on that note, for Sean Mace, for Joe George, for our Texas listeners, all that jazz, I'm merely Paul Gallant. Let's have some fun tonight. Come out with the listener party. Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.